So sit comfortably and relax. Moments of wonderment. I am nobody appearing as somebody. This somebody was given a name 80 years ago. Wolfgang Hans Peter Ernst May. This body went through many transformations, but essentially remained a nobody. Not being swayed by feelings of happiness or unhappiness. Well, after 80 years, I have nothing to show for. A smile. Yes, a smile. After all these years, I found how useless it is to build a bigger mousetrap to catch all these thoughts. It can't be done. Let it be. Smiling. Well, it was not all smiles when I was born. Berlin was the center of European culture and also the center of destruction. This was World War II. Bombs were raining down on our heads, torpedoes going through entrances of the houses, people walking like flaming torches. And the big artillery was roaring. The whole ground was shaking. Windows were shattered. People were shaking. Everything was molten down in that furnace. Total war. Total fear of life and death. How could we survive? Being completely alive to the moment. People huddling, praying, chanting, shaking together. In the morning, on my way to school, I hardly could find my way through the ruins. On one side, third floor, you could see a bathtub. On the second floor, a picture hanging. Corpses being pulled out from underneath the rubble. How did I find my way? From the very beginning, the way is perfectly manifested, right here, alive here, with your life, every breath. Sometimes it's standing on top of the mirror. Sometimes it's walking on the bottom of the sea. After our house was bombed, we left the inferno and moved to the countryside. And it was like paradise. Children dancing in the meadows, gathering yellow flowers, bouquets of fragrance, singing under the oak tree. It was as though something pure beautiful, was lost and corrupted, brought back to life again, and recovered. The paradise came with hardships. We were starving and freezing. But through scarcity, our hearts opened and we reached out in friendship. There was no other way. Former enemies, old friends, came to us. They brought food and we provided the fireplace. A moment of wonderment, sharing. My way to school was 4 miles from home. I had no shoes. I had to wear my father's boots, military boots. So my mother every morning was wrapping my feet in rugs. And I was walking. In winter it was still dark. The moon was shining. And one day on my way home, there was a big snowstorm. And I was wading in the snow up to my navel. And I couldn't find my way. And on the distance, I saw a little speck coming closer and closer and closer. And it was my mother waving with a blanket, rescuing me, saving my life, because I would have lied down and be gone. A moment of wonderment, mother's love. And then I fell in love. I was 11 years old, the first time. She was like an angel. Blonde hair, blue eyes. Whenever I saw her, my heart was pounding in my throat. I couldn't say anything. I kept my love secret. Nobody knew about it. And after 50 years, I decided to come back to my village and visit her. She lived in the first floor, the farmhouse, all by herself, abandoned, alone. When I came, she stood on top of the stairs as I approached. She said, "Wolfgang!" And I rushed up the stairs. We sat on the at the table. She was surrounded by cats and old newspapers. We were holding hands. And I confessed my love to her. Tears were running down our cheeks. She was an old woman, still beautiful. Then we moved to Hamburg. My father was opera singer in Berlin. He lost his job. Now I had to play accordion in nightclubs to earn a living. Because of scarcity of dwellings, we were all living together. 4 families in an apartment. 4 people of a family living in one room. So my father was rehearsing chanson with the quartet. My mother doing the washing on the ruffle board. We children were cramming and studying. All happening at the same time, same room. So I learned to focus amidst chaos. This was a time when a copy of the Upanishads came into my hands. It's an ancient text. And I read a chapter, switched off the light, and meditated. So I was teaching myself meditation. I also found Herigel's book, Zen and the Art of Archery. It's the first time we can contact with the Dharma. Moment of wonderment. The blossoming of the Dharma flower. So at night time we had to make beds with bricks and frames every night. So it was a very beautiful time, living together with so many people in so cramped space. Then I was lifted off the ground for a while, Buddha in the clouds. I joined Lufthansa. I was the cabin attendant, living in luxurious hotels, international diet, food, hand-tailored suits, cigars, a great life, seeing the world, a moment of wonderment. Through a misstep, I was grounded, and I was feeling as though I was walking on my knees for 1 year. And I started studying. I always felt I had to study. I had enough money saved from Lufthansa years. And I lived in a small room again with just a chair, bed, cupboard, for 4 years, sacrificing everything to do my Bachelor of Commerce. Then I started my career with Unilever. I was a trainee. And after 1 year I said, what am I doing here? Everything is so unnatural. The movement, everything was by lifts, the illumination, the lights, everything was fluorescent. We eat fish fingers. So I was working on the 9th floor, looking out of my window, and down there was a prison. I asked myself, are they in prison or am I in prison? At least they can think their own thoughts. I had to produce figures for each target. So it didn't take long and I was out. And I wanted to go to Australia. Turn my back on the business world, on Germany, which was so aggressive, materialistic. My mother almost fainted, said, you sacrificed 4 years of your life to study. Now you want to go to Australia, where the kangaroos are hopping over the road? My darling. But first, before going to Australia, I joined a family on the outskirts of Hamburg. They taught me yoga and vegetarian diet. That's where my spiritual path began. So I set out putting my body through all kinds of austerities. Hard labor, living on wild herbs, sleeping on wooden planks, the seagrass, all that to catapult myself into the kingdom of heaven, purification. But it's like a flaming arrow shot into the sky. Once the energy is exhausted, it drops to the ground. And that was a turning point to finding Zen. I did not have to attain a higher consciousness or purify myself to be somebody or to have a place in heaven. Or looking for the future rewards, but looking at my life as is, embracing every moment and knowing every moment is complete. Well, my life in Australia started in the bush, shovel in hand. And I lived there with a friend with 40,000 acres of land, all virgin. Most farmers cut down the forest and raised cattle. So after a few years, you had only burning tree stumps and cross-eyed cows. And the whole beautiful bush was gone in the jungle. But we preserved it. Once my friend was taking me on a journey to plant seeds, mango, coconut. And there was soil as deep as that, like cocoa, never touched by human hands. I was on my knees sinking a coconut into the ground, and tears were running down my cheeks and said, "This, mother, I wanted to experience. Coming back to nature, experiencing my nature, and living a simple life." I didn't know then, but now I knew. So we were planting macadamia nuts, mangoes, all the tropical fruit, and I was running naked all day long. There were no people around. I was singing, talking to the plants, feeling for aphids when there was aphids. Yeah. I was scraping it off. And what we planted during daytime, at nighttime the wild pigs came, digging out everything. So the neighbors were shooting the pigs, but we said, the pigs were here first. They have as much right to the land as we have. So what we did, we were planting sweet potatoes for them. They were happy, and we were happy. But I was not born to be a farmer. A call came to enter education. There was a need for teachers, so I did a course and became a teacher for 25 years in the school system. And I always shared my knowledge. I was a vegetarian. I was baking my own bread, making my own soy cheese, because at that time there was no knowledge in Australia. It was really very behind. So I took every opportunity in schools to teach the children about vegetarian diet. I asked science teachers, home economics teachers. Then I brought my nuts, my grains, we threw nuts through the room, the tasting nuts. Never had seen a nut in their lives, except me. Or what brown rice or lentils you couldn't buy in the supermarkets. It was unavailable at that time. And many times I put my job on the line because I was doing things which were not in the curriculum. I was on Australian television with a sprouting demonstration, and during school time when I came back to school, the phone board was jammed with calls, and the principal breathing down my back, so I could fire you any moment. I have a picture here. And the picture of me being...
You look like a rock star.
Yeah. When I was with the family learning yoga and the spiritual path.
Oh my gosh. Moment of wonders.
I always used to have my lunch on the playground, and children came and, "Mr. May, what are you eating? What are these? Oh, these are almonds. Can you taste one? This is an apple? And you eat only this?" And I gave them to taste. And one day, the principal came. Could see his back of the horizon getting bigger. He was a small, stout man, and building himself up in front of me. What are you doing here? I said, I just had my lunch. So why don't you have lunch in the staff lounge? Because it's crowded and loud and people smoking. I prefer to sit here. Do you know, parents are ringing me. You're feeding them something. What are you doing? I said, well, I just share what I eat. They ask me questions. So from tomorrow on, you'll be back in the staff room. So every time he was nagging me, because he was in the army during the war and bombing Germany. So for him, I was the enemy still. Every day he made hell out of my life. Until one day I said, well, I cannot change him. So I did the voice dialogue at home. I put a chair there, put him in. I was sitting here. He said, we both want the same thing. We want to educate children, have a peaceful life, a happy life together. Why can't we work together? Do you remember that morning I came to school? He came, reached out his hand and smiled. A moment of wonderment. What thoughts can do. So I could not change him, but I had a dialogue and that ushered in a whole change. Well, I moved to Perth, Western Australia, and I lived there in an ashram for 7 years. That's where I met Hansa, my future wife. She was always around. Every Friday she came with her daughters in a sari, beautifully dressed, chanting in a high-pitched voice, and giving speech to all people. I said, what a strange lady. She thought the same of me, what a strange man, eating raw food, chopping vegetables all the time. So it took us a long time before we really struck up a relationship. For 4 years I had to give her a massage to straighten her out. So during that time, we were both not yet ready to have a relationship. I traveled to Japan, always had great attraction for me, Asian beauty, Zen. So I said, either I will find a wife in Japan or I get enlightened. So before I went to the jewelry shop where Hansa was assistant and bought opals for my future wife in Japan. Isn't that wonderful? Moment of wonderment. So I traveled to Japan, found all the girls very silly, childish, and there was no way we could come together. There was a cultural divide and language barrier. So I opted then for meditation, enlightenment. So I found a monastery who accepted Western students. It was very authentic, very severe. Students came from all over the world, donned black clothes, shaved their heads. For 7 days we had sesshin, my first experience. I could not understand a word. So my only chance was to follow and to experience for myself what this is, what is Zen. So it was a very deep experience. I had Dzogchen with my teacher, and whenever he heard me speaking, he was just ringing the bell. And we had a German interpreter. So it was so frustrating. Until I knew I can't use my intellect or understanding, just be in the moment and follow. What is here is so rich. And at the end, we never bathed or rinsed our bodies. That was an amazing thing, yeah? That the body rinses itself. After 3 days, There's no more stench. And after 7 days, we had a bath together, sitting in a hot bathtub all together, knees under the chin, up to water up to here, really feeling that oneness, and we were more connected than had we spoken. So that was my first experience of Zen. I trained in Australia with Aitken Roshi, and yeah, when I was in the ashram, my baby was creating juice fast weekends for guests and for yoga aspirants to teach them vegetarianism and a healthy diet. And Hansa was always at my side, helping me. And I had a dream. I said, how wonderful it would be if I had my own institute and have my own staff. So I was working towards that end. I sent out the message to the universe and left it to life. And so one day it happened, out of the blue, a letter came, and they said, we would be happy if you joined our staff. No certificates needed, no questions asked. A moment of wonderment. The dream came true. Through a mutual friend, he was a board member of Hippocrates and also a member of the ashram, a contact was established. So within 3 weeks, I asked Hansa, would you like to accompany me, come to America? Oh, yes. And also, I want to marry you. So we both were happy at a marriage ceremony in the ashram. And in 3 weeks, we closed our practice, sold the cars, and went over the big ocean to America. Can you imagine a message from Australia to America, never met, starting a totally new life. We lived in one room, again, confined place. never lived with the person together. Yeah. All raw food. Sometimes Hansa came home with tears in her eyes. I can't live this. I can't go on like this. Or I came home desperate. Yeah. What am I doing here? Because we started at the very bottom. I had to clean the tables, clean the awnings, clean the van. One day I said to myself, as I was cleaning the table, I'm not cleaning the table, I'm cleaning the mind. So my whole approach changed. I said, let's see what unfolds, what evolves out of the situation. We were rising up, with mutual trust of the owners who invited us, and we're working ourselves into this position more deeply. In the end, I was one of the key speakers, and Hansa was right hand to Anna Maria, who was the health administrator and owner. And when the two were traveling, we were running the whole show. So that was one of the greatest experiences. We were there for 12 years, living on the ground, working as healing angels, day and night. Calls came during the night, people dying, people fainting. And it was known, Hippocrates was known as a cancer clinic. With Ann Wigmore, it started in Massachusetts, Boston. So people came there to heal themselves. So cancer is a big no to life. Once they took charge of their own lives, changed their diet, changed their outlook, healing comes from within, they could turn their conditions around. So some people said to us, we can't say that we enjoyed having cancer, but it was a gift, because it forced us to look at our lives and change. There was a young girl who came with her father. She was 15. She had cancer stage 4. And her father couldn't do anything for her. Hippocrates couldn't do anything for her anymore. And one day I was sitting at her bedside holding her hand. And she looked at me and said, "Wilbur, I could leave any moment now if I only knew I had lived for real for 1 minute on this earth." That was the most astounding remark I ever heard from a human being. I could leave any moment if I knew I had lived for real on this planet. So we are all in the bubble. We all don't know how to live. We all don't know how to die. But that moment she pierced something. And she was free to go. Looking back, I was sharing always, teaching always what was close to my heart. Whether it was vegetarian diet, I was teaching yoga, I was teaching shiatsu, now teaching Zen. That's possible. And I found those situations which I most resisted in life, they opened a gate for something beautiful to happen. Coming to the ashram, which was always the last thing I wanted to do, I met Hansen. Or being a teacher, teaching at schools, or teaching Zen. I remember one day my teacher Doshin, he must have known, "Mushin needs a pushin." He came with a kesa, with his disarming smile and compassion and wisdom, and hung this around my neck and said, "There you are." And I said, "Here I am." That settled the matter. I'm grateful for all the teachers and friends I had in my life on all three continents who helped me to be who I am today. Here I am, sitting with you, teacher of nothing. Finally, the dream of arriving somewhere has come to an end. Every moment is arriving. Nowhere to go. Every street in the world is your zendo. Be still in the experience. And the whole world is mirrored as in a drop of water. Translucent, magnificent, ineffable.
He forgot to tell you that he was never going to get married.
Oh, yeah, that was another resistance. When most people think of a retirement at 55, I'm married.
And we were only 2 weeks married when we came to America. We never lived together and lived in one room.
I started a new career.
So he was just waiting for you, that's all.
Because we both were weird.
Well, in dedication to my wonderful wife, my love, my partner in life, I want to play a piece of music, a song by Tchaikovsky. The title is "My Friend, My Angel, My Genius." To you. My living Buddha.